to ask that you would reign in all of those situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to see you here. My name is Pastor Dennis. I want to welcome you. If I didn't get to greet you and you're new here today, I'd love to shake your hand. Just thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here. It's always good to see familiar faces and people we haven't seen for a while. It's wonderful to see you. It's good to see you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and good to be around his people. I love this time of year. Don't you love it? I think it's comical how we start seeing the ads and the decorations even in stores, you know, months ago. And then this time of year, too, it always cracks me up. Some of the commercials we get, have you noticed that? The one that cracks me up the most is, and I know it's a commercial, but still, like, when two people, like, surprise each other with a car for Christmas, and it just happens to be in the driveway, and it's a big bow, and you're like, who does that? I mean, that's cool if you can, but, you know, I know, obviously, there's you know, different kinds of royalty, and even in America, it's not very American, but we have our elites, right? We have those who live a little different than most of us. We've got our elites, maybe our political elites, right? Our sports star elites, our multi-million billionaire elites. We have the internet elites, and we even have some Christian elites. You know, maybe they're like pastors of big churches, just celebrities. You know what I'm talking about. We have that in America too, where we kind of look up and we see prestige and power, and it's something people want, and they want to achieve it or find somehow to get it. It's hard to imagine, though, the world that Jesus was born into. And what I want you to think about for a moment is when he came, you know, Rome ruled the entire world. And they were the largest, biggest, most powerful nation on earth. And before and bigger and stronger and more powerful than anything that had been on earth. Imagine Rome and the splendor of those days. If you've been there recently, of course, you just see ruins. But imagine when those were built and the temples were built and the huge columns hewn. I've seen the places where there's actually some columns that were supposed to go in that never got finished. It was majestic. And imagine what the emperor would have been like with servants at his beck and call and an armies all around the world collecting tribute from everybody there were. Even Jerusalem, though, had its elites. Even Jerusalem with the Sanhedrin and the religious rulers of that day. They had even Herod's temple, which, they say it was just one of the most wondrous things to behold. It was huge and enormous, and gold and brass and silver everywhere. Very beautiful. And with that kind of thought, you think about the big splashes that you've seen and the way God had introduced himself before and displays of power that God has used in the past. If you think about the Old Testament and you think about things like, well, a worldwide flood, and you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, and think of, you know, God appearing in a burning bush to Moses, and you think about the 10 plagues and bringing down the most powerful country in the world, Egypt, and you think about parting the Red Sea. I mean, God's done some amazing things in Scripture. Think about Jericho's walls tumbling down and fire from heaven and people being raised from the dead and Elijah rising up in a chariot of fire. Then you think about this. Think about God in all his majesty. I mean, his true majesty. Not earthly majesty, not something that we try to make ourselves look more important, nothing we put on. I mean, really, all those earthly kings, all they were doing is taking things that God had already created and putting them on themselves. But think about God and how he exists in majesty. It's hard for us to even conceptualize. I mean, a God that is self-existent. He didn't have to have a beginning. Some people say, well, who made God? Well, if he had to be made, he wouldn't be God. The fact is, he's a being that exists outside of time and space. He's so magnificent and large, it's hard for us to even conceptualize. And yet, he's personal and powerful, and he's the creator of all that exists. And at the same time, he is loving and just and righteous and almighty and robed literally in majesty, light all around. We get a couple glimpses of what heaven looks like, a couple glimpses into his throne room when we look in the book of Revelation. Let's just take a look at the way that's described. Then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty pearls of peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him." And then earlier in the book of Revelation, it says, before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and all around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes front and back. The first creature was like a lion, the second like a creature, like a calf. And the third creature had a face like that of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes all around. And day and night, think about this, day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who was and who is and is to come." That's happening in the throne room all the time. And think about the words to that song Pastor Nick just led. Think about those words. God himself sending Jesus to earth, he could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see. Wouldn't that have been amazing? He could have brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with a host of heaven in royal robe and crown. I mean, he could have descended with thousands, millions of angels. He could have done that. Then the rulers of all earth would be bowing down. He could have marched in all his glory right into the heart of Rome, showed them splendor like they'd never known. But he wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem. Creator, this line really gets me. Creator in the arms of common men. He didn't come in his majesty. He didn't do that. He could have. He didn't. He left all that glory to wait for it, to be with you, to be with us. He left all of that to be with us. I mean, it's not like we deserve it. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to. And he left all of that glory to be with us. That's why one of the names he's called is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about that. His presence is the present. His being here face to face, time together, experiencing our lives, walking our streets. You know, cell phones are amazing things, aren't they? A lot of us, you know, we use them as flashlights and calculators, and you can search the World Wide Web, and, you know, it's a GPS and a compass, and you can show movies, and you can play music and pay your bills, and you can find places, and you can answer questions. You can call someone anywhere in the world, any time of day. And then they somehow serve to separate us too. Have you noticed that? I've seen people on their phones together at a restaurant, apart. Even watching TV and everybody's on a phone. They almost leave us alone when we're with people. They've probably done this too, where you text somebody and they're in the other room or in the same room. God bypassed all of that to be with us. We know how important presence is. We know how important and how much it means when somebody chooses to literally spend time with you. They could be somewhere else. They could be doing something else. But they give you their time. And when it's real time and it's face to face, you know how important that is. That's exactly what God did. He left all the majesty and glory of heaven just so he could be with us. Him with us. Now, the way it was set up before, you could earn your way to heaven if you were perfect. I'm not. You're not. Because even if we were, then you'd be proud of it and be sinning. So either way, it wouldn't work that way. And the fact is that every one of us have done things that have separated ourselves from him. We're responsible. We have done things. We all fall short. But he came to make a way. Book of Romans chapter 3, a letter to the Romans written by Paul. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We separated ourselves from him, and we couldn't ever pay the price. And Paul writes in another chapter, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first gift was Jesus on Christmas Day. Then the second gift was him dying for our sins and making a way for us to find forgiveness and have direct access to the Father. And he did all this because he wanted a relationship with you. He didn't have to. He did. He created us as beings that are free, and we can choose him freely or not choose him freely. He wants a free choice. That's what he wants. The Apostle John wrote it like this. He's quoting Jesus here. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will, for it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last days. Still blows my mind, though. He left all that glory for us. Those lyrics again, some more of those lyrics. It says, but you chose meekness over majesty and then wrapped your power in humanity. He deserves all the praise today. He is the King who reigns from a manger throne. Glory be to God, you alone. King who reigns from a manger throne, my life, my praise, everything I own, to Jesus the King on a manger throne. He left us, heaven for us. He took on humanity, became a helpless baby, suffered and died, and then rose again so that we can know him personally. From heaven to the cradle, from the cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. And then he invites us to join him. We continue his mission. As he came here to seek and save the lost, then he includes us in that process. He does that because he wants to spread that light of the gospel. Would you just shut your eyes for a second? So you're thinking about that today. Maybe for you, you've known this story your whole life. Maybe for some of you, it's new. Or maybe it's a story you've heard before, but when you think about it today, maybe God's speaking to you in a way that's different, and maybe he's calling to you today and saying, I want you. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Just curious about that today. If there's anybody in the room that you wanted to start that relationship today, he will meet you right here, right now, in person. Anybody like that today? You just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray for you. I do see that hand. I appreciate your honesty. Let me just pray for us. Father, I'm grateful that you have come in the form of, you sent your son in the form of a baby to come on Christmas Day to be one of us. And then you gave your life for us just so you could have relationship. And I pray, God, for everyone in this room, but specifically that person who raised their hand, God, that you would meet them here today. And as they cry out to you and say, I want to know you, that you would begin that relationship today and it would last forever. In Jesus' name.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father, praise the Son.
till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now the gospel truth of old shall not fail, shall not fade. By His blood, His name, in His freedom I free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected.
Come on, let's stand together this morning and let's lift our hands and sing this out. All praise to the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the
most beautiful parts of that story is that when Jesus was born, like we said in the song, God could have come down with thousands of angels. He could have done all that. Instead, they appeared to one group of lowly shepherds, common people like us, normal people. And the biggest news in history was shared with shepherds. And then I love what they did. Those shepherds, they looked at each other and they're like, we got to go see this thing that's just happened. And so they go into Bethlehem. And I was talking with some people this week about that whole event. And they were saying, you know they had to go tell a lot of people about this. I'm sure they did. Can you imagine? Because the angel came and told them, today is born the Son of David, the King is born today in Bethlehem. And then they were surrounded by a multitude of angels. I mean, no one, that doesn't happen to anybody and they don't tell somebody, right? So you wonder, was that God's plan all along, just to use normal people? Yeah, it is His plan. That was always His plan. It's not that important people aren't important. It's not that. It's not like they don't matter to God. It's not like wealthy people don't get into heaven. That's not it. It's just most of us are normal, common people. And our job now is to take that light of Jesus, that incredible story, and to share it with as many people as we possibly can. That's His plan. That's how He's going to populate heaven, is with each one of us sharing the story that God loves us. He created us for relationship. He gives us a choice. We blow it, and then He's already paid the price for that in the person of His Son. And He came on Christmas. It's a beautiful story. So we just want to illustrate that today. The story starts with one little light. Simple. Just like that. Right? Just like that. Are you kidding me? There we go. One little light, just like that. Then it spreads.
As we spread the light, let's sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Oh,
Together this morning. He's the light of the world. Can we just thank him for a moment? Just lift a voice of praise today. Lift your voice to him this morning. Just give him thanks together. Can we do that? God, we thank you that you are the light of the world. We thank you. Lord, in you there is life, and that life is the light of man. God, we're so grateful this morning. We pray that you would be exalted in our hearts in this season. May the name of Jesus be lifted up. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen.
Glory to God in the highest. I love that Christ came down to save us, to rescue us. You can blow your candle out. And I love that hope was offered to every single one of us. And I love that hope was offered in that moment, and it's still available for us today. Jesus is the hope of the world. We want to thank you for being here with us today. We pray that your Christmas season is a blessed one with family and friends. Before we get there, though, I want to tell you a couple things real quick. We're going to have an opportunity to give and to be generous this morning. And I just love this season, this time of year. It's the giving season, and just people are so generous and such a blessing in so many kinds of different ways. We just want to thank you for your generosity. If you'd like to give this morning, there are three different ways that you can do that. You go to crownpointchurch.com/give, or we have a text to give option. Or if you'd like to give, there are ushers with offering bags that are going to pass down the aisles as well. You can give that way. But as you're doing that, I want to tell you a couple of things real quick as we close out our service this morning. I want to invite you back next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be such a fun Sunday. Next Sunday, we have our kids' Christmas showcase. And so here's the deal about that, though. It's going to be so much fun, but you need to know this. You need to get here early, because that is from the 9 to 10 o'clock hour, and it will be out, take place in the lobby, and it we will have kids showcasing their talents and their gifts and their abilities. It's going to be so much fun together. You'll want to sing along. There's going to be dances. There's going to be songs. There's all kinds of instrumentals, artwork, all kinds of things that we want to invite you to be here and to be a part of. That's next Sunday at 9 o'clock here. And then we'll stick around following that. We'll have a 1 hour long Christmas family service. So, man, I just hope you guys have the merriest of Christmases, that you find hope and peace and joy this holiday season. And I pray that you'll take, just like what Pastor Dennis talked about this morning, about what the good news of great joy of Jesus, and we spread that all around everywhere we go. Hey, we love you so much. Thank you for being here today. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you.
stories, join the hymns. You don't even have to rehearse. It's Christmas at church. The tree is up and so's the holiday cheer. After all, it's the best time of year. No better place to be on the earth than Christmas at church. Is here, we finally made it. Don't tell it on the mountain, Jesus is born. Christmas bells are ringing, everyone join. Come and bring your family, celebrate his birth. Oh, Christmas at church. Christmas at church. Tree.